Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
We now live in a world where when this president goes dark for 72 hours, people got to be like, is he dead?
We've gone for, now that's some crazy left-wing podcaster, but he's acting like that's a big deal. I wonder what that idiot was saying when Joe Biden would disappear for days at a time. Like, you wouldn't hear from him. His own staff wouldn't see him, and you didn't have media speculating that he might be dead. The president, by the way, welcome to the show. Mark here, Dan Buck down there, Ethan Bright sitting across from me over here. There is a news conference today about 1 o'clock Central Time, but President Trump's got scheduled, so clearly he's not dead. But I'm not quite sure what the news conference is about, but maybe he's addressing some of these silly health rumors that are going around. Who knows?
Perhaps, but it just amazes me that suddenly they're all up in the business of the president's health when they went 4 years of saying, nothing to see here, don't be looking, there's no mental health, no physical health, no balance problems, nothing at all. Our president is absolutely fine. Yet now they're going after. They have nothing else.
The mental health people, the mental health side of this is on the left. There's a serious issue going on here. You got this guy. He can't believe it. He thinks we're living in the days of the Kremlin in 1980. This is like. You should hear these two bantering on this little podcast about why they can't believe we haven't gone to complete civil war yet because of Donald Trump. Listen.
Are you like freaked out by this? Because this fact really, really makes me like, this is dictatorship. Not normal democracy.
Yeah, no, it's obviously not normal, and it's very strange to live in this situation, and you would have thought that people would have rebelled against it in a greater way than they have.
Any idea what they're talking about?
No. And I'm like, give me an instance. Give me an example of how your life has changed, pro or con, because of Donald Trump.
That you think there should have been.
Have there been firing squads? Have our ICE people taken people out in the street and assassinated them? I mean, that's what happens in a dictatorship. Hitler, Nazi, all the words they use to try to describe him. None of it happens. None of it. Give me one thing that has happened. And they go, oh, he's going after illegals. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He's going after people who are in this country illegally, as they would in any nation in the world that has sovereign borders. They should be going after people who are undocumented to make sure that they're following our immigration law.
And he's doing exactly what he told you he was going to do.
Yeah.
Why is any of this a surprise? It should be. You may not like it, but to try to declare that it's unconstitutional, no, it's not.
Or their democracy is being crushed. Give me an example.
What's unconstitutional is opening our southern border and letting anybody by the millions who wanted to rush across into this country. And now we're all dealing with the fallout from that. If you missed this earlier in the show, the Post-Dispatch ran an article this weekend in disbelief that local traffic stops are now leading to people being reported to ICE. Like, they reported this with shock and awe. Are you kidding me? Why, it used to be like that all the time. Why is it not still like that? Police officers used to get a bounty for turning in illegals to ICE in the not so distant past.
They got a bonus from the federal government, like $25 to $50.
My father-in-law did.
Yeah, my nephew. So
yeah,
same thing.
Absolutely. So I know it used to happen. It makes perfect sense. I say bring the bounties back. Well, you're going to get a lot more folks who shouldn't be driving to begin with because they're illegal and they shouldn't have a driver's license. There was an example of one guy who got caught in the city last year in the car with a gun, with shell casings in the car, and they released him. That tells you what the problem that we've been dealing with up until now. And now ICE is on him, and he's going to be deported, probably.
Yeah, he's part of that recent roundup. Did you see how ICE spun that in the news? Because they were saying, oh, they're using traffic stops to get these people into the federal courts. And I'm like, yeah, cooperation between local law enforcement and ICE is being credited for the increase of illegal arrests, referrals, and deportations. That's how that story should have been spun.
And they didn't do it.
No.
And they weren't doing it a year ago.
Oh, of course not.
They're not participating at all.
It's like they're trying to put shame on police officers for cooperating with ICE.
It's an upside-down world.
It's crazy that we're
all
not.
All right, Ethan, let's get to our top stories real quick.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
We do not want to see tanks in our streets. We do not want to see families ripped apart. We do not want grandmothers thrown into the back of unmarked vans. We don't want to see homeless Chicagoans harassed or disappeared by federal agents.
Are they illegal, Mayor? Could somebody just ask him that question? I don't care if the van's marked or not. Are they illegal? If ICE is taking them, that's legal. Yeah. It's legal. Listen to this.
It's been a violent Labor Day weekend in Chicago. At least 54 people have been shot, including 7 who were killed.
Update, 8.
Yep.
54 people shot, 8 people killed in Chicago this weekend. But according to that numbskull mayor you just heard from, there's nothing to see here. We don't need any help as there's a raging fire going on in the background.
It's just hard to believe y'all, Jamie, now, simply because we know what y'all watched the last 4 years. Even when I see somebody like Corinne Jean-Pierre come out with her book, and I'm like, you sat up there and lied for him all of this time, and now you want to be honest and say you were an independent, and it's the same. All of y'all did that for the last 4 years.
Charlemagne the God calling out the former DNC chairman. You lied to us for 4 years. The guy's like, I didn't lie to anybody. Oh, yeah, you did.
Yes, you did.
Yes.
For 4 years.
Yes, you did.
If I were to give you your $2,350, which is the cost to renunciate your citizenship, and I paid you your first class, flight to whatever communist country, and $20,000 of spending money,
communist country.
Would you give up your citizenship to go to that country?
This guy, Patrick Bet David, sat down and challenged these liberals. I guess I don't know what the college setting was. And he absolutely tied this one in knots. I mean, she did. She hates capitalism. Just a complete numbskull. But when offered the opportunity with full airfare and an extra $20,000 to go to any of these countries and live, she declined and got up and left the table. Because deep down, they realize that as stupid as they are and as much as they hate capitalism, it's the best system in the world compared to all the others. They realize that.
And they don't understand government does not make money. It comes from people. The whole socialist movement, these young people, because they've never paid taxes,
right,
don't get it that everything you give to people, give away free, comes from the working class, comes from the people who are putting in the time, the effort, the energy. They just want to be professional protesters and have all the freebies come from the government. They think the government is like a business or something that's generating income. It's
frightening,
not,
frightening
it's
that some of these people still get that they get to vote. They get to go out and support people like this Mamdani guy in New York who's going to nationalize or
free groceries,
buy grocery stores and just give the food away. I mean, how does that work? Who's paying for it? The taxpayer's paying for it. Oh, my goodness. We would need to get to a break. We got Todd Patrick Pyro from Fox and Friends First coming up in just a couple of minutes. Bottom of the hour, Mark Walters is going to join me from Armed American Radio to talk more about the fallout. If you notice, you didn't see much news about the Minnesota shooter over the weekend. Wonder why that disappeared out of the headlines. We'll talk to Mark at about 7:35.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices. at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Stay tuned.
For reasons that defy logic, some Democrats side with lawbreakers over crime victims. Does Gavin Newsom ever mention a crime victim? Does J.B. Pritzker seem as concerned about your safety as he is those here unlawfully? Public safety should be a unifying issue.
Gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, the star of Fox and Friends First, Todd Pyro, on the phone this morning. Todd, welcome back.
Oh, you know, it's great to be here. Happy post-Labor Day. It's very exciting to be on with the folks in St. Louis. How is everybody?
Everybody is good, Todd. Doing great, my friend. How was your long weekend? I assume you were off yesterday?
You saw I was off yesterday. No, I was on. I worked. So clearly you didn't watch.
I was camping, buddy. I just got back late yesterday. Sorry.
I saw you, brother. Rocking it as usual.
I decided to turn over a new leaf with our hits, and I decided to give you a very basic, standard rebuttal to your initial question and not go all silly, not get all goofy. And then you come at me with that crap. Well, I didn't. I saw you head off yesterday. You saw wrong.
Wow. Well, originally we were told we would not have Todd Pyro this morning, and then I found out that I did, and I'm like, oh, well, he must be back at work.
Yeah.
I've never for one little 7-minute radio hit, I've never seen more emails back and forth. Because I guess you guys had the King of St. Louis on in this spot, and so they're like, we need to move you to 9. And I was like, I've got Varney. The people who pay me, I'm going to reiterate that. If you pay me, I'm going to prioritize you.
Smart man.
So let me tell you, Mark Cox, now that St. Ange is on maternity, and I'm sure you don't pay maternity leave, you turn money and give it to me.
We're going to redirect her pay to Todd Pyro.
And then I'll tell Stu to go pound sand.
Stuart Vonney, with the guy with the greatest voice on TV. I love listening to that guy.
He's amazing. And he's just so much fun. It's like, you know, my dad has that. My dad isn't British, but his mom was born in Canada after their family emigrated from England. So I'm used to that, like, British sensibility, even though my dad is, you know, half Italian and grew up in Jersey. but there's just something about Stu that reminds me of my dad. And you know, it's endearing. This is actually not a sarcastic comment. This is serious. That's why I love talking with Stu. Stu's always like, when am I going to retire? I was like, you're not, because you remind me of my dad, and I love it.
Hey, Todd, a lot of activity, a lot of stuff to talk about coming off the holiday. But namely, what do you think the president is going to be addressing? They're kind of being hush-hush of what's going to be detailed in a 1:30 press conference today.
Can I give you a wild card?
Yeah.
I read an article, and I only saw it one place. So if I'm right on this, I want to talk about it next week. He wants to bring back insane asylums. Yep. Did you see that?
I did see that. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. You have to think that if he takes a lot of questions on different topics, maybe that will come up. Because to be honest with you, and look, I am not discounting from a humanitarian and just an overall human perspective what is going on overseas. War is horrible, but I think to a certain extent, the American people, especially as we gear up for the third quadrant of the year here, the third of the year, I should say, it's like the same story over and over and over and over and over again, and it doesn't go anywhere. If he wants to sort of inject a news cycle with something, I think he's going to have to go to new things. This would be a new thing, and boy, oh boy, it would be a talker. Now, of course, he's going to talk about, you know, potentially sending the National Guard to Chicago by Friday. That came up, and what other cities next? The doings in Latin and South America. Obviously, Marco Rubio's going there. There's a plethora of things for him to touch. But wouldn't it be funny if he started off with something completely random, like insane asylum?
Yeah, it would be great. Maybe he's going to announce they're going to declare Congress an insane asylum. I mean, that's, I'm just off the wall there, but it's weird. We get these press releases from the White House press office, and for the scheduled day, it just says 9 a.m. in town pool call time, 2 p.m. the president makes an announcement. period. Like, that's it. Like, yeah, it's that vague.
Secretive, almost.
And the left was suggesting he's going to come out and talk about his health. Did you hear that speculation? They hadn't seen him in 72 hours, so he may be dead. I don't know.
I got a text from the guy who does my makeup. I know, you know, fancy news guy in New York. We have makeup artists.
Yeah.
No surprise there. He said, hey, Trump's dead. I'm like, oh, no.
But he's going to hold a press conference.
So I spent, this was over the weekend when, you know, the rumors circulated online. So, of course, I go online. I said, you know what? My wife and I said, if he was dead, you would have gotten a call yesterday.
You know, thank you.
You would have been in there. You would have been anchoring. You wouldn't leave that building for 3 weeks. So presumably he's alive.
I picked this up off of libs of TikTok this morning. Listen to this. Hold on.
We now live in a world where when this president goes dark for 72 hours, people got to be like, is he dead?
Yeah. Jonathan Last is this guy's name. He's some podcaster and some left-wing podcaster. And they were lamenting the fact that this is like 1980s Kremlin time in America.
Yeah. With that, Mark Cox, you turn on your TV on Fox and Friends, you're going to see me in less than 4 minutes because I got a hit. Have a great week.
Awesome. All right, buddy.
That's what I'm here with. Griff Jenkins, can I pass the phone to him?
Griff, yeah, go ahead and give the phone to Griff. That'd be great.
What's going on? It's Jenkins. How are we doing?
Hey, what's happening, Griff? How are you? We got some bonus Griff this morning.
Yeah, we're trying to hold things down. I'm tag teaming here with Todd Pyro. He's got to get on. Talk about some major races we're watching, the gubernatorial race out there in Virginia and in New Jersey, as well as the chaos with Mamdani in New York. But you know, I'm just trying to play second fiddle here. I'm doing what's asked of me.
You're doing a great job, Griff. We saw you this morning in there for Kilmeade. So thanks for taking the job for Pyro. Couldn't get it done this morning. We appreciate it.
Pyro does an excellent job, as always. Great to talk to you guys, and I'll catch up with you on Thursday.
All right. Thank you, Griff.
Griff, talk to you then. That's great.
Grabs the phone from Todd Pyro.
You
got to
be on the air.
By.
Give me that phone. I'll wrap up with Mark. That's great.
I love it. All right, coming up, we'll get to Mark Walters from Armed American Radio. Stay tuned.
The shooter left behind hundreds of pages of writings. Writings that describe the shooter's plan. Writings that describe the shooter's mental state. And more than anything, writings that describe the shooter's hate. Pure, indiscriminate hate.
If you ban him in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size. If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This is 2A Tuesday, brought to you by the Range St. Louis West.
All right, Mark Walters on the line with us this morning from Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. Mark, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks for having me, and good morning, everybody.
Absolutely. You know, it's weird, isn't it? It's Tuesday. I know it was a long holiday weekend, but I didn't see anything about the Minnesota shooting in the news headlines this morning. Why did that disappear so quickly?
Well, you know, because of the narrative, of course. We have another trans shooter, and they don't like that. The mayor of Minneapolis, Fry, has made that really clear, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we don't want you made this to reflect on other people who happen to be trans, except they kind of fit that category of isolated and angry and filled with hate and wanting to take it out on somebody. Let's ignore that problem altogether.
Yeah, well, you know, they talk about compassion for a community. Let me just focus in on this particular shooter who we won't mention his name. If you want to show compassion to this young man a number of years ago, compassion would be seeking psychological help. Yeah. Not telling him to cut off whatever he wanted and hope his life would be better a couple years later, because clearly it was not. And he referenced that in his manifesto, that he was sick of being the way he is, which was a scream and a cry for some type of psychological help, and he didn't get it. His feelings were affirmed, and now there's 17 people wounded, 2 dead children, because of their compassion. So, you know, these are things that are all fixable, Mark. They're all fixable.
And it's not a pattern anymore. It is an absolute tendency that the first thing we're going to be thinking of the next time we hear mass shooter or school shooter is he trans? And when are we going to?
I was already thinking that.
Yeah. When are we going to address the elephant in the room, right? When are we going to say this is a mental illness that is causing a lot of things, whether it be the drugs, whether it be the psychosis of the gender dysphoria? I mean, what is causing so many of these people to become violent, specifically to children?
Our affirmation of their illness as somehow normalizing it. Is yeah. part of the problem.
Right.
Okay. There's some blame there. But let's not also forget that evil itself is real, too.
That's right.
And if you watched this video, wow. You know, I've made the comment that of all of these that I've covered over the last 17 to 20 years, 17 of them on the airwaves, 20 years in print. Okay. This one was worse. I'm not talking about body count. I'm not talking about deaths. I'm talking about the evidence of Satan walking the earth. If you watch that video, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. There's no doubt. Let me play something for you and get your reaction to it here. Yeah.
And so we're going to have a conversation of freedom versus protecting children. I mean,
Trey Gowdy there last week. Folks over at Gun Owners came out and flat out accused him of encouraging supporting gun control. I had him on Friday. We talked this over a little bit. And he says that he's not going to apologize for what he said. But what he's talking about is we've got to get some sort of mental health legislation so that we're able to filter out these people and prevent them from getting guns. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, I asked the question on my show the other day, what in the world happened to Trey Gowdy? I don't know. Trey Gowdy, he's all over the board. He says things like this, not just about guns. I can see how he can, you know, he gave himself some plausible deniability. He could easily backtrack like he did with you and say, when I was talking about freedom, I was talking about the freedom of people who may become a threat down the road by maybe locking them up against their will, maybe something like that. Maybe he was referring to that, but he didn't specify that. He was talking about freedom. And when I hear freedom, I hear my freedom. So that's the way we're approaching this from this side. And Trey Gowdy has some explaining to do, and we'll see how it unfolds as he responds to some of the commentary coming from the gun rights community that wants to know specifically what he meant, because I heard the comments and I heard what I heard. So, but I'm also fair enough to let him say what he wants to say, and well, then we can make up our own minds, right?
And what I've always said is we can address the mental health issues without tying it to gun law. We need to do a better job of diagnosing and helping people who are struggling with mental health, whether that be making it more accessible, more affordable, making it more mainstream, that families have resources to report a child or report someone who is struggling and give them the need, you know, the necessary support that they need, whether that be, we talked today that Trump may come out and talk about reopening mental health institutions around the nation to try to have a place to put people and have evaluations and have them get the help they need versus, oh, let's just tie this to gun law and let's start limiting who can buy and who can't.
Oh, that right there is completely fair. I would agree with that 100%. You know, I'm old enough to remember the cuckoo's nest. Remember? Okay.
Yeah.
We all remember the cuckoo's nest and Nurse Ratched. And people have this fear of institutions. We didn't do a good job with institutions years ago, and we shuttered them all. I think we're in a position where we can create institutions that actually work nowadays and learn from the mistakes that we made in the past. But this is a fixable problem. We can also start with security. You know, this school was begging. The church was begging the governor for security at that church, and Waltz said no.
Yeah.
He said no.
I saw that report.
They were screaming for it.
And it made me wonder. I mean, churches have been dealing with this issue for a while now. I'm not quite sure why the church, the parochial school, would think it was the government's job to provide security for them. Why didn't they have their own armed guard there?
That's a good question. I don't know Minnesota law. I don't know why. And I didn't go that far because I don't have an answer to that question, but we are looking into that. In fact, I'm working with A.W.R. Hawkins at Breitbart News, who wrote extensively about this, to try to dig a little bit deeper dive into that. Why didn't the church create their own security? Is there a state law? I don't know.
Well,
but
you know,
we're going to try to find out.
Just like so many of these situations, whenever this happens, there's everybody talks about it, and then as it fades into the background, and the district, the school district, and or the church, or whoever it is, realizes the ongoing expense, then it kind of goes away again, and we once again expose the underbelly of, you know, what should be the safest place on earth, and that's where we put our kids. I don't understand why this isn't just, it's not just a given that if you've got a school, you've got somebody on the property with a gun in case an idiot decides to attack it.
Yeah, now you just made a great point. You say this should be the safest place on earth. Probably the safest place on earth, or as close as we can get in the United States, would be the White House. Why? What makes the White House the safest place in America?
Offense.
The fact that it is surrounded by armed security inside and out. Now, we don't have to have White House-level security, but we don't need White House-level security. Warning, our teachers are armed and will respond to deadly force with deadly force. Number two, provide the tools necessary to do that. That's all we're talking about here. That's all we're talking about.
Yeah.
Those schools that do have that are never attacked. And this shooter wrote his love and affinity for Adam Lanza and other school shooters and made it clear in his own manifesto that that place was undefended. He knew it, and he admired shooters for thinking that way. This is not the first time this happens. I've talked with Dr. John Lott about this ad nauseum on my show over the years. We know what they're looking for. They do this intentionally.
Yeah, picking soft targets.
He knew it.
Yeah, they're always gun-free zones, right? They're theaters, schools, their places of business that don't allow guns. People know they've got free rein for, you know, 20, 30 minutes sometimes before somebody's going to stop them.
It's common sense. Create a problem for a criminal and the criminal will go somewhere else. Crime will be reduced. We know these things. We know they work. Now, meanwhile, in Chicago, where the mayor's going bonkers over Trump, 54 people were shot, 7 killed. Yeah. Just this weekend.
Eight. They've upped it to 8 now. Eight people died. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And the mayor doesn't want help in the streets. It's just incredible. Look, the Democrats own these problems in these cities that they run. They own these problems. They have to own up to that. And I ask America, are you sick of it yet? How much longer are we going to put up with it/them? There's my pronouns for the Democrats that run every Democrat-run city. It and them.
I love it. Mark Walters, remind people where they can listen to Daily Defense, please.
ArmedAmericanRadio.com, Monday through Friday, 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock Central, and every Sunday from 7 to 10 Central. We love you guys.
Great having you on, man. Keep it up.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Talk to you soon.
Right. Thanks, Mark.
Yep, Mark Walters there. He's right.
He is. You know, and one consistent thing that all of these school shootings have in common is they always end when a good guy with a gun shows up.
Yep.
They either take their own life or they're shot by a good guy.
Yep.
And, you know, we need more armed good guys in these schools to protect these kids.
But that might scare the kids.
Oh, please.
I'm with you.
A good guy with a gun. Yeah, silly. We can't have those military people out there in their uniforms and guns.
People.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because they're the ones you need to be worried about.
That's right.
All right, coming up, we'll get to Dan's segment here at Buck Don't Give a Bleep. And next hour, we're going to talk to David Wasinger, the lieutenant governor, about this special session and redistricting and all that. Stay tuned.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
But don't give a f***.
No apologies. And we do give out a trigger warning to liberals who will hate this segment, because what we do is we give conservative voices out on social media a platform to get it onto mainstream media, because most of them don't want to hear these people. Today is Truth Bomb Tuesday. I've got a different theme each day.
And because we weren't here on Labor Day, which is my minority Monday, today actually fills both those roles. Because this young man, his name is Jeffrey Mead. He makes no apologies for being a black conservative who constantly is pointing out the hypocrisy of the left. I've been following him for like 6 months. His content is awesome. You'll want to go to X and find him. He opens his clip on this one. This is a referee going to be speaking at the beginning of his clip at a Chicago youth football game this weekend. The guy is laying on the ground with several hundred people and kids all ducking from gunfire. Then he transitions to a bunch of white liberals, mostly women, protesting in downtown Chicago, screaming to stop any federal help to stop the crime. That's right. You're going to love Jeffrey Mead on X. Hit it, Ethan.
Everybody got to get down. Everybody got to get down because they shoot. Everybody down. Look, look, these kids are running. They shooting. We can't have no fun in Chicago, man. No fun, man. This is terrible. I'd have thought flag. Because this y'all neighborhood.
Okay, so things like that are happening regularly in Chicago. And you see his skin color, he's black, and most of the people around him were black. But there's a protest going on in Chicago today. Check this out.
No troops.
No troops. Oh, these people are insane.
Now, what did you notice about the vast majority of the people in the streets protesting? A heavy majority of these people are white.
Yeah. He goes on to talk about the hypocrisy that these people don't care about the victims. They don't care about the people who are ducking from gunfire, the hundreds of kids traumatized every weekend because there's gunfire in their neighborhoods. They don't care. And that's what his whole point is. You white liberals, stay in your suburbs and you mind yourself. Meanwhile, Donald Trump, bring your troops and help us out.
Thank you.
We need some help. And he's an awesome guy. You really ought to go out and check this guy out. He's so well-spoken, soft-spoken. He doesn't get emphatic like I do. But he makes amazing points and constantly is calling out that hypocrisy of the left.
I mean, you need to hear it. And I think their biggest fear is that more people will realize that. More people in that demographic will start to realize, wait a minute. How many people didn't die in Washington last week? But 8 people died in Chicago and 54 were shot. But they don't want to do the same thing here they're doing there. Why is that?
And to hear an African-American man who's very well-educated, very well-researched, very well-spoken, as you could hear, speaking the truth is going to influence so many more people. He's got about 400,000, I think, followers right now. I'd love to see that become 1 million, 2 million, and mostly African-American followers, I would hope.
Yeah.
But a conservative voice in the midst of the madness. It's awesome.
It is awesome. Well done there, Dan, for sure. All right, coming up in the next hour, we're going to talk to the Lieutenant Governor of the state of Missouri. David Wassinger is going to get in here and join us about the special session. That starts tomorrow. They're going to talk about redistricting and initiative petition reform, shockingly. Nobody kind of I didn't expect the second one. I got to be honest with you. So I want to talk to Lieutenant Governor maybe about what role he's going to play in this, if he's out there actively campaigning and working these senators and House members to get this thing passed. We'll find out more about that. Plus, a little surprise for our friend Dan Buck coming up here in the next segment. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.